Welcome back. Eye on the Outdoors in the bunker. Yes, indeed, boys and girls. A little comeback with Temptations. I send it out to my queen this morning. Here we are on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning with the Vogelbogger, Matty G, Peanut, and Kevy Kev. Right, the Vogelbogger?
Yes, sir.
Having that coffee this morning. We're having some difficulties getting a hold of Billy Smith, so we're not sure we're going to be able to get that fishing report in. We'll have to give him a call next week, I guess, Vogelbogger, huh?
Yes, sir.
What do you got for me?
I've got something really important. On July 27th, 2019, 10 to 4 p.m., there's going to be a benefit for you and Jan I. People, if they don't know it, Jan has contracted an autoimmune encephalitis disease that attacks the short-term memory, then the long-term memory. And we're giving back to the people that you've done so much for people in the sporting industry, and these people have put this together to help you. It's going to be Anderson Services, Missouri Gunsmith, 911 County Road, 3500, Mountain View, Missouri, 65548, and that's 417-934-2173. And there's going to be raffles on Mossberg 930. There's going to be a Mossberg MVP Patriot. There's going to be a PSE Bo Madness Bo.
Signed by the Drury Brothers.
Signed by the Drury. That's very cool.
I've heard one of them's going to be there.
That's excellent. There's going to be silent auctions, turkey calls, hunting packages, and so much more. You can check it out on Facebook. Benefit for Ray and Jan I.
I can't thank them enough. The hunting industry, my friend, especially Murray Anderson and Tim Chelsovic, for doing this for us. It's been a rough ride, as you know. We're still fighting this 6 months into this thing, and I just want my wife back.
We're praying for you, buddy.
What else you got for me?
I've got, guess what began June 30th, frogging season.
Oh, yeah, we're first sunset. Weekend in July. That's correct.
And it's June 30th at sunset and ends October 31st. Missouri has two frog species that are legal game, bullfrog and green frog. Bullfrogs are larger, therefore more sought after, and the daily limit is 8 frogs of both species. Not 16, it's 8 of both species.
Okay.
And they're combined with this possession limit is 16 frogs of both species combined. The Department of Conservation encourages Missourians to discover the nature this summer. One fun thing about this way is frogging season is June 30th. Again, it started. It's going on now. Bullfrogs are larger, therefore more sought after. I said that before, but they are bigger. And frogging can be done with either fishing permit or small game hunting. Permit frog harvested. Oh, you can use 22 caliber or smaller rimfire or pistols, pellet guns, atlatls, bow, crossbow.
We're back to atlatls.
And by hand or by net, where's gigs? Well, we can frog gigging. And for information on frog hunting, included on how to get started and tasty recipes, try MDC Online. Squirrels, we talked about them. Catfish Clinic, we talked about that. And flood damage causes the change the dove season. We got that. Missouri invites women to beginner shooting clinic in Kirksville. Register, attend a free series of training programs for women on beginning shooting basics. The Department of Conservation invites these people to a 3-part series, consists of 1 night of classroom instruction, 2 nights of shooting on the range, and trained MDC staff will offer instructions on firearm parts and operation. The classroom portion will take 6 p.m. on August 7th or 8th, and the MDC Northeast Regional Office on Baltimore Street in Kirksville. Call up, get registered, go out and have some fun blowing stuff up. There's something really cool that we've been waiting for.
Really?
For a long time. Missouri Department of Conservation announces plan for Missouri elk season.
Oh, wow.
And the department has shared its initial plan for limited elk hunting season with the Missouri Conservation Commission. And at the June 28th meeting in headquarters in Jeff City, the commission gave its initial approval to the proposed plan. According to the MDC and deer biologist Aaron Hildreth, who presented the elk hunting plan at the meeting, MDC will begin offering a limited season for elk hunting once the herd is about 175, reaches a minimum of 200 animals. And the animal herd growth rate is about 10%. And that's what they're looking for, is 4 cows for every bull elk.
Okay.
If for animals, why come in hand? What are animals too? Never mind. I just answered my own question. According to MDC, the herd will likely reach 200 animals by 2020. With that in mind, the MDC has designated a 9-day archery season for elk hunting and October 17th through 25th, 2020, and a 9-day firearms for elk hunting running December 12th through December 20th, 2020. And there's
going to be... Where are you going to elk hunt at?
It's going to happen in, where is it, in 3 counties.
Okay.
In Missouri. And where did that go? Landowners. Resident landowners lease 20 acres within a specific, within Carter, Reynolds, and Shannon counties. The okay. way I'm seeing it right now, it's going to be in those three
Shannon
counties.
Shannon County. I can see one of them on board. Look at the back strap on that booger.
I just, you know, it's no sense in having an entire state because there's no elk in northern Missouri yet. You know, so qualifying landowners will be required to pay a $10 application fee and will still pay a $50 permit fee if selected. And public comments are the next step. So please get a hold of them. Tell them what you think about this program.
It's pretty cool.
They've reintroduced it. And how long has it been going now in Southern Illinois? You were down at Peck Ranch when it first started.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a heck of a program. And season specifics, elk hunting seasons, general provisions, rule establish a general provision for elk hunting and
general
CSR.
Provision, general provision, general provision. I don't know what you're trying to say.
I know what I'm trying to say either.
I was just sitting there thinking when you were talking about frogs a while ago. I remember being in high school in the summer and waiting for frog season. It opened at midnight, and I'd be at my neighbor's table. We'd be drinking coffee till midnight to wait for it to open and then jump in a truck, and away we'd go, and we'd hit all these ponds and lakes and gig all these frogs all night. Bring them home, and time I got home, it was breaking light, and I had to go to work, so I just throwed them in the refrigerator in a bucket. And went to work, worked all day, came home, cleaned those frogs, laid down for a little bit, got up at midnight and went and did it again. And did that just opening day of frog season was like opening day of turkey or whitetail season for us back in those days.
Now, there was another time, I don't know if the last time you talked about this, one of my favorite stories is when you had a date, a new young cutie.
Oh, that's when we was going to the county fair and it was frog season there. And there was a nice pond on the way and I was going to impress her and I had that 10-foot gig pole on the back of the old truck and... pulled in there and I said, come here, coming across this fence. Well, she was all dialed up to go to the fair. You know, what was I, 16, 17 years old? She's like 15. So we go across this cow pasture and I get to the pond. I said, you stand right here and I'll hand him to you. And I waited out there and boom, hit that big old bullfrog, turned around and spun that around. Here, pull him off of there. And she was gone. I never seen her after that. I had to go to the fair by myself.
Oh, that's... You've done that. There was another one, too.
Oh, that was with Bobcats, where we had an old Ford Falcon, and we was going to Johnson Mountain, me and Michael Held. And he's a photographer. He had a 35-millimeter camera. Back then, we shot 64 Kodachrome slides for magazines. And Mama Bobcat and three little ones come across the road, and I had the date in there. We was going to a cookout, a big picnic on the mountain with a bunch of our group. And when that Bobcat come across, I throw... pull that car, run it off in a ditch, and bail out there barking. Boo, boo, boo. I treed the cats. Mike's down there shooting 100 photos. We got back to the old Ford Falcon. All the doors were open. She was gone. Run up and down the road for about an hour looking for her. I think she was hiding from us because I never did find her. So we went on to the cookout without her.
I'm sorry. Those are just too good. The stuff that, you know, like when people think about Uncle Ray's story time.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of those people in those stories now, you know, yeah. And people go, oh, he's got such an imagination. No, it's not an imagination.
There's no way you could make up Uncle Lee's stories. I've never in my lifetime, once I growed up and started thinking pretty good on my own, I was like, why did my parents ever let me hang out with Uncle Lee? What was that all about?
That was just think the things you learned about it. You know, when you go back to your first trip when he's got the old Jeep and it's going across the icy pond.
Yeah, across the water, across the pasture. We went up on a mountain. That's when he's got old Joe. wasn't old Joe.
Is that the refrigerator?
Now imagine, was I was just a kid when he did that. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God. How old were you, 12, 14?
No, I was about 11, I think, when he did that. 11 or 12. Wasn't very old.
What did they call that, the ice box? What was the name?
There was an ice box. In the old days, they put ice in a refrigerator, in an ice box. And it was back then, they had dumps everywhere. You know, they don't do that anymore. And the pull-in place halfway up on the mountain on the bench was called the Icebox. And that's where he pulled in. That's where he was supposed to meet him. Uncle Joe was late. Well, you know, I played the story time here a lot. And so he waited for Uncle Joe because he said, Uncle Lee says, you need to watch this boy. And then when that Jeep pulled in and got out, Uncle Lee grabbed him from behind and picked him up and bit him and stuff and growled at him. Anyway, he passed out and he started yelling at him, struck his lighter. And it wasn't Uncle Joe, it was somebody else. So, yeah, he did lots of things like that. Lots of things like that.
Maybe that's what inspired your...
Run, boy, run. It ain't old Joe.
The excitement in the games that you play at hunting camps.
Yeah, you know what was bad about that is we were coon hunting years later, and I was like 21, 22 years old, and the two older guys I was coon hunting with, I was late on that deal, and I showed up. I seen their lights and the dogs knew me because I handled the dogs a lot. So I called the dogs back and held them. So they came back down the hill. Then I turned the dogs loose so I could catch them. And when they turned around and started up the hill, I went real quick when they walked in the leaves, and I grabbed a guy named Toby from behind, picked him up, shook him, was biting him on his neck. He went limp, passed out, and pissed himself. And I never did that again. And I never ever did that again to a man ever. And you know, and Charlie was talking big game before, that you know he wasn't scared. He was backing up the hill, falling down, crawling backwards while I had him up in the air, shaking him. So anyway, we need to take a break, and we come back on the other side. We're going to visit with Mr. Pat Smith. We'll talk about some fish body language. We'll see you on the other side, baby.